As the United States prepares to hand over sovereignty to Iraqis, some of the key accomplishments of the occupation are in doubt. The goal of the Coalition Provisional Authority, or CPA, was to put Iraq on a path toward democracy and a market economy, but critics say the U.S. is lowering the bar for its accomplishments. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Back in April, President Bush heralded the interim constitution that the CPA put in place to guide Iraq toward elections.
On June 30th, when the flag of Free Iraq is raised, Iraqi officials will assume full responsibility for the ministries of government. On that day, the transitional administrative law, including a Bill of Rights that is unprecedented in the Arab world, will take full effect.
But critics say the much-hailed interim constitution, known as the Transitional Administrative Law, or TAL for short, is now in doubt. The Bush administration, trying to avoid much debate over it, did not ask the United Nations Security Council to formally endorse it. New York University law professor Noah Feldman, who worked on the draft, concedes the transitional law now depends simply on a gentleman's agreement with Iraq's interim government.
One thing we have to be very honest about is that once the constitutional negotiations begin after elections, everything is going to be back on the table. And any sense of satisfaction that observers got from what I think are, on the whole, relatively attractive formulations with respect to the importance of Islam and of democracy will survive to the final constitution only if the Iraqi public thinks they're plausible. That's the reality of the situation.
His comments at a conference at American University here in Washington set off a heated debate about U.S. policy in Iraq.
Boy, that really illustrates the TAL and these wonderful provisions, like almost everything else that has been conducted by CPA, is a sham.
Peter Galbraith is a former ambassador to Croatia. He has constitution writing experience from his work in East Timor. He's furious that the Bush administration caved into pressure from a leading Shiite cleric. Ali al-Sistani didn't want the UN to endorse the Iraqi interim constitution, and the U.S. didn't include it in the latest resolution. Galbraith is worried about what this means for Kurdish autonomy, but also for democracy. He had harsh words for the Coalition Provisional Authority officials ensconced in their highly guarded compound.
The writ of the CPA doesn't extend beyond the green zone. It's there. They pass regulations, they pass laws, and then like a octopus arms, they go out in military convoys and come back. But there's no authority that's established.
Other Iraq watchers say it is still too early to say whether the CPA, led by Paul Bremer, put Iraq firmly on the path toward democracy. Bathsheba Crocker of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says there are also doubts about Iraq's economic transition.
The CPA has put in place a number of orders and changes in Iraq's economic structure that could lead to Iraq becoming a market economy of the type that the United States might like it to be. But one remaining question is whether those laws will actually be respected once the Iraqis take sovereignty, and also whether they are something that the Iraqi people would actually want in the long term.
Early on, Bremer and the CPA talked about widespread privatization of the economy, but since backed off. Crocker, who has been studying post-war decision-making, says there were many flip-flops in U.S. policy, which she blames on bureaucratic disputes in Washington.
The infighting has ranged from very minute issues like particular personnel that would be sent out to take part in the CPA to much larger policy-related issues.
She and other analysts point out that the initially ambitious talk about democracy building in Iraq seems to have faded from Washington's lexicon as the CPA prepares to close after a more than year-long occupation. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.